Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horvigan. What's going on, everybody? Well, we know that the markets keep going up. I mean, that's pretty evident. We have no fear. Underdog is here. So that we know that markets are going to continue to go up. And of course, this is not a total surprise. I mean, I think it's a surprise that we're still going up. That I do think is a surprise. I think that we're being led down the path of destruction. I think the way that the Fed has brought this along and allowed us to have this false sense of security, that everything is better, because again, look, I want it to be better. I have no personal axe to grind here with this market. I mean, again, what do I care? I mean, I'm long the market. I've made money as it's gone up. So I just think that we're kidding ourselves that we think that everything is hunky-dory, as they like to say. I think we've got the clueless leading the blind and being helped out by the crooks. When you look at the picture, I mean, you know, I was just in Vegas. And, you know, I think it's interesting, even there, you know, I've been going there forever, and the amount that you have to play and gamble now has even come down to get the comps, because they're having trouble drawing business as well. So I just think that you look at this picture, and yeah, some people are doing very well. I mean, and so be it. I mean, I'm not upset that's part of it. But, you know, the average working person, man or woman, is not doing very well. You know, I spent time, you know, doing a little teaching last week as well at UNLV, and I'll talk about that later. But I look around and I see what's going on, and this is not boom time in my eyes. The fact that Janet Yellen would come out and say that there will be no more crashes in our time a couple of weeks ago, the facts that we're still begging for inflation is, again, all these things to me. And again, I'm not telling you to go out and get negative and sell and the world's coming to an end. What I'm saying is that, hey, you need to just kind of have a view of what's happening. All right. You need to understand that as volume and volatility collapse, which they continue to do, I mean, if you take a look even at the last, let's say, six consecutive trading days, but you can go back farther, volume has fallen every single day, basically along with volatility. So, you know, all that's telling you is that there ain't jack going on. That is the bottom line. Okay, here, you can go back to volume peaked probably in, certainly in the first week of September. But if you can go back and you can go back to like August and see that we're just declining, and, you know, we keep going, now we'll be at zero. You know, again, does it matter? Well, I mean, it only matters if you want to be more active in the market. Look, at this is the kind of market that investors love. No volatility, no stress, no not sleeping at night when when things go a little wacky. So, you know, but from a trading standpoint, it's absolutely brutal. But again, the other thing that this kind of signifies, you know, the oil markets are predisposed to go higher. That's always been the case. And of course, what kind of fuels that is the beginning of the bull markets, we tend to fight it, right? You know, we tend to try to short it or whatever. And of course, and that fuels the continuum, the rally. Now, you know, where do we go from here now? Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm certainly going to say to you that as bearish as I am, I can't say to you that this is the time to sell it. Okay, this is not the time to get short. You might want to create some short type positions that can withstand the time and duration, but you're really just gambling if you do that here. There's not, you know, the markets are markets, and they do not announce themselves. They don't make their intentions clear to what they're going to do next. I think that you have to just, you know, kind of sit back and wait. And I think this is the market that really bears more sitting back and waiting. I mean, certainly you can make money to the upside. You can make money to the downside. But, you know, I just finished the bubble report for September. And of course, I do that monthly, and, you know, get writers writing for it. And I put together my own charts. I've got my own proprietary indexes that I just create just to kind of, you know, give you an idea of what I think is strong. And it's always the same blend. And, you know, as I did it, obviously the indexes broke out to highs. The financials broke out to highs. But interesting enough, tech is a wreck. And the big tech stocks basically have not done anything. And in fact, over the last couple of weeks, they've been slightly trending a little bit lower. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean a lot. It just means that there's more to think about here. And there's no reason that you should jump in and have to say it's time to get short. Again, I don't want anybody to get drilled trying to outsmart the market. Okay? You know, so I think you have to be much more patient here and much more on the what we would call the observation deck, because there's just not a lot going on. And until we get some real action back in the market, there's no reason for us to want to become overly active. And that's always something that I think is important to do, is having the discipline to sit back and watch and not try to, you know, get so totally, you know, trying to be right here and try to pick the absolute top of the market. That's just, you know, not going to happen. And I've pissed away lots of money to prove it. Okay. But I just think that, you know, the markets themselves, they'll churn and burn for a while. And that's, you know, kind of what we look for. I mean, the dull market business is simply that. It's dull. It will grind higher. And nothing we're going to say, nothing we're going to do, you know, the markets are waiting for something. Maybe they got a hot date. Now they're waiting for something. They're waiting for a reason to bust out either up or down. The probability favors down. But again, they're waiting for a move to get, because basically, even though we're going nicking new highs, they're not like driving there. They're just dribbling through there. In the meantime, this is Thursday, October the 5th. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, we got football tonight too, so I got to give my selection. I'll put it this way, though. It won't be New England. In the meantime, you want to download the show every single day, go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends with Zan and the crew. And we're going to step out here for a little bit of a break and remind you also to get Bubba's Daily Update every day. Email it to you. All you got to do is email me at bubba@bubbatrading.com, and I send you a clip every single day after the close. In the meantime, we're going to step out here for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Bubba Show after the break. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back. Bubba Show. What's going on now? So, you know, as we said earlier, the dull markets drift. You can't really fight what they're doing. And I don't know that there'd be a reason to try to. And again, I would be more apt to want to look at fighting the market if we were in a busy market, but unfortunately, we're in a dog of a market. So, you know, do I want to fight into a dog? And the answer is no. All right. But I think, you know, we're seeing a lot of things out there that are, I think, should make you kind of uncomfortable. I think we're seeing a lot of things out there from on a personal level, you know, that are not good and not happening well. You know, I think that there's a lot of reasons to believe that the people are going to rise up because, you know, one of the things that promotes these terrorist organizations and some of these, you know, I can't even discuss the terrible act that happened in Vegas, but, you know, people get upset. They get to points and, you know, a lot of them turn to the group. You know, if you go back to, you know, Jonestown or Hitler, you know, how do they get the big groups to, you know, in Jonestown's case to commit suicide, and in Hitler's case to, you know, create, you know, the extinction and the elimination of everybody, was because the economic times were so bad and people, based on their emotion and based on their feeling of lost, will turn to anything. And of course, you know, if you're selling, if you got a good sale, you got a good story to tell, you can create and bring in an element that might not normally be there, but then all of a sudden they become, you know, the killers. And I think this is something that is, you know, a concern. And I think that, you know, when, you know, I drive into the city and I see more homeless than I've ever seen in my life. Right now, I've been driving the same route for 38 years, basically, and I've never seen. I mean, it's almost like you have to make a reservation to sleep in the street now. And I think that's a problem. And what happens is, you know, we have people that get very discouraged. And again, if you're hungry and you don't have money to eat, and you find food at, you know, again, in a very bad organization, you will go there. Because you want, you're trying to survive, and then it becomes a way of life. And I think that's something that, you know, is you know, nobody's watching that. Nobody talks about that. Again, these are the things that kind of bother me, is nobody talks about those things. I think that the whole Wall Street, excuse me, the whole Washington situation, you know, again, with, you know, Not the debt ceiling, the tax cuts, everything. You know, the efforts should be focused on allowing and bringing back the ability to be in business, small business. You know, I think this has been, you know, I think Obama, so it might have been Bush. Again, I'm not blaming Obama particularly here. The destruction, whenever whoever started it. Okay, there'll be people that'll make cases. They'll take it back to 1913, the beginning of the Fed. So, again, I'm not blaming anyone present, but the destruction of small business, which I think Trump is trying to revive, is something that is very sad, because we continue to see big business prosper. You know, you've heard me rant and rave about the banks over and over again, how they screw their own. But I think, but here, just the general ability to get into a business, you know, to go borrow money, to go do what you want to do, has, you know, left the building, basically. And I think that becomes another issue because, again, what is the lifeblood of any business? It's money, right? You can only work so hard, but if you don't have enough money, it doesn't matter how hard you work. And I think that the lack of money, the inability for the small business to get money at a reasonable price. Now, yes, you can get it, you know, we talked about, you get it on your credit cards, you can get it from some of these subpar, some prime lenders. But again, to get ahead, you need to have access to capital when you need it. And of course, that is, again, not really an opportunity for a smaller business. So I think that is something. Now, obviously, there is a lot of excitement about small business right now. Obviously, you watch the small cap, but I'm not talking about capitalized companies and the Russell, which is that's important, right? But I'm talking about the guys that are starting in their garage or the guys that are, you know, opening a new small business looking to grow it. Because once you've gotten onto the exchange, once you've gotten into it, you're already capitalized. You've raised money. You've got your thing done. But I'm talking about trying to get to that point. And that is the spot that nobody wants to talk about, that we're missing, is the ability for those guys, to get money. And that, I think, is the tragedy of it all, is it's so difficult and the circumstances are so tough that nobody can get that type of money that they need. And that's where where the big guys got you screwed, because they can get whatever they want. I mean, they can get anything they want to squash you like the little bug you are. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the problem. So we're not on a fair and equal playing field. Now again, I'm not saying that being big shouldn't have an advantage. You give you a simple analogy. The handicapping system in any sport, golf or bowling, favors the better golfer, which it should. I mean, the better golfer should not have to give up all of his edge for being better. Okay. Well, in business, the big business should have a slight edge, but it shouldn't be a dramatic edge. It shouldn't make it so it's impossible to really breed competition, because you and I know, as citizens, that competition is by far the best thing that we can ever ask for as consumers, because it makes people work harder. It makes people do a better job, because we see what goes on in America, and I've asked the question many times, where is the pride going in America to do things the right way? We've seen a lot of that go by the wayside, and I find that kind of frustrating as well. But back to my point. So if we can't get competition, then it creates, first of all, it creates the ability for, and this is not, I don't, I'm not, this is not a factual, this is just an example, this is something I can think about. But Walmart, they could start to raise up their prices. Between them and Amazon, they could raise their prices a little bit and start to, not give such a bargain, because they've wiped out almost every bit of competition. And this is something that, again, when you wipe out competition, this is my disgusting argument against the healthcare system. They have no competition. So if they have no competition, then they can basically charge whatever premiums they want. And again, I think that's an issue. I also think that, the lack of competition everywhere, and that's even goes to Amazon now. Now, again, I'm not telling you we should make Amazon a monopoly. I'm a capitalist. I'm not at all mad, but they were allowed to get there because they were able to wipe out all their competition because small business couldn't stay and compete. And I think that is a sad, sad story. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure that you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day, and, email me at bubba@bubbatrading.com so that I can send you out my daily update. I do it every day after the close, give you an idea of what's going on, what I have a feel for, and what I'm looking for, and it's free. bubba@bubbatrading.com gets you the Daily's Bubba update. And in the meantime, again, let's be careful. Let's be cautious here. Sit more on the sidelines. And we're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And we're going to come back and continue our ways of picking apart what's going on. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, right with you here. All right, so a couple of notes and points, and one of the questions I have to ask, because I think it bears asking, how in the hell can the United States government complete a contract with Equifax? How can we do that and have it done? I know the contract was in the pipeline a long time, and I also assume it was a no-bid contract, which, listen, we've talked about this before. Bid or no-bid contracts, they're all rigged anyways. I have no illusions that this is not, there's not a scam in there somewhere. But how do you now do a $7 or $8 million contract with Equifax, with what they're going through and how they've handled this whole situation? Tell me. Romper room. Tell me what good do these Senate and House committees do when they waste our tax dollars and our time and everybody else on re-grilling Wells Fargo, going after in public disclosure for Equifax? Why do these hearings need to be public? Okay, and I may be wrong, but I mean, I don't find any value myself, and I've yet to see, you know, I've seen, you know, over the years, all the big ones grilled on the Hill, and at the end of the day, it didn't do anything anyways. Again, I think that these bigger guys that they want to go after on the Hill, and I think that's more of a show of, you know, well, we're on your side BS stuff. I do not have any illusions that they're doing it for me. I just don't. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't see it. Elizabeth Warren, in my opinion, is a boob. I think that, you know, again, I hate people that, you know, she made a lot of her money in banking, and now she's trying to close the banks down. But what is the purpose of on the Hill? What is the purpose of asking them these ridiculous questions, which are also most of the time, you know, not bipartisan? All right. And what good does it do? Okay. What does it do for us? You know, what does it do for me? As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't do anything. And I think that that becomes an issue that should be somewhat addressed here. I think that, you know, we want to focus on, you know, how can we make the country better? How can we quit throwing away so much money? All right, because, you know, we have this bid from Equifax, all right? And again, it was not bid rigged, but it was just, there was no competition. The specs are written, the contract was basically awarded, it took time. But why are these things not public? Okay, that's what I'd like to know. I'd like to know what my government is doing with my dollars, okay? I don't know about you, but I think, to me, I want to know how they are, what they're doing to crumple up my cash and throw it in the garbage can. Because I do know that's what they're doing with it. Just, I'd like to see exactly what they're doing with it. And, you know, giving a contract to an Equifax, to me, doesn't make a lot of sense. I think you look at what they're doing, I don't think it makes a lot of sense. And then you grill them on the Hill. I don't think that makes a lot of sense. So I don't see any of it. But you want to make things public, then let's put them in the newspaper. You know, just put them on a public access channel, whatever. Let me know. But, you know, what are you going to do? What are we seeing I guess my biggest question is, you know, is it one guy gone to jail? No. Okay. Has one guy, you know, been destitute because of all this? No. All right. You know, they walk away with their big money anyways. And it, to me, it's just a farce. It's a circus of watching these people try to, you know, play. And, you know, between all of them, and especially the ones on the left. And again, I'm not picking up. I don't really care. But I'm so sick of the wealthy on the left trying to destroy the people that either want to have the want to make more money, a lot of money, or who have a lot of money. You know, I mean, you know, you look at who is whining the loudest. It's those with the money. And, you know, these are wealthy people on the Hill and in both parties and in both House and Senate. These are not poor people that are getting elected, right? You know, as a rule, there's probably, I'm sure there's a couple of exceptions, but, you know, they're all fairly well off. And here they are telling you what you should be doing with your money. And I want to go back to the insurance thing that we were talking about a little bit ago. I want the government to mandate, right, by the state, that health insurance is a law to buy starting at a young age. And I guess I gotta get this, lay this out a little bit differently. You have to be taken care of if you like go to the emergency room. But I'd like to change that. Okay. I would like to see it where you start paying your insurance early. Okay. Where we have a competitive business and a competitive field. And, you know, and you have to be in, and then then there is no such thing as a pre-existing condition. I think that for now, because of what one of the big battles, they want this single payer. I think that right now, you know, pre-existing conditions that are never been covered, you know, that I think should be in a special pool. That can, I mean, I don't mind that as an entitlement to get this program off. You know, I'd like to see, but I think from this point forward, I think it's the same with many of the other government programs. I think we have to draw the line at some point. And, you know, again, at this point, I'd like to draw the line and say, okay, if you're over, you know, 25 or whatever the age is that you can be insured on your parents, then, and you're paying for your own insurance, then if you're of that age, you need to continue to insure yourself. And we don't have to make the premiums that big. You know, again, the big complaint is that why do I have to pay for maternity care? I mean, you know, I mean, after all, you know, A, I'm not going to have a baby myself, and I don't believe my wife and I are going to have kids either. So, you know, but, you know, why can't the insurances be more custom to, you know, individuals? And I think they could be much more reasonable. I think this is again is a pool of money. It's a pool. It's a dollar pool. And of course, we just saw this example with the hurricanes. You know, everybody's worried about the devastation for the insurance companies. Well, as it turns out, Sparky, the insurance companies are doing just fine. Thank you very much. They're not in any trouble at all because they've been putting this money away. Because the concept behind the insurance business is you pay, you pay, you pay. Your premiums, your premium, your premiums. And, of course, hopefully you never use the insurance, A, for yourself, but also the insurance companies like it because that's where they make their money. But, you know, they're investing those dollars. And trust me, they're not taking wild investments. They're investing into, you know, pretty safe stuff, trying to just create enough to, you know, grow that premium, because, you know, if you think of it, you know, you pay for insurance and what can happen. But at the end of the day, if we now start accumulating that cash, and I think it needs to be done more on a statewide basis. You know, again, the federal government is full of boobs. The federal government is full of crooks. The federal government is full of ignorance and cluelessness. I'm tired of that story, but I think that, you know, like a state run, you know, pool, you know, I think we just need to make it, I think if we made it affordable, where's Pelosi? Affordable. No, if you, I think if you made it affordable and you put everybody into it, I think that you would then have a plan that would build. You know, again, obviously, I'm giving you know very broad strokes here, but I think that you know if you started everybody and you know you had to have insurance, I think you could bring it to a reasonable level. I think you could do what you needed to do, but of course, you know, one of the big problems we have is the federal government and their administration of their administering of projects is just brutal. I mean, has anybody ever seen a worse run organization? I challenge you to tell me if you've ever seen a worse run business, so to speak, okay, over the years. I mean, how did they allow themselves to get $20 trillion in debt? It's just, but anyways, I think that we could do that in the insurance industry if we can get that part done. And I think that's the key. Is we have to get all the premiums in, and we have to yank out the pre-existing. And again, I think you put them out as a separate group, as a lone wolf type of group. And again, I think you could go ahead. I would not have any problem with it being subsidized by the government, because I think once they roll off, it doesn't get replaced. I think that's just a thought. And if you got any thoughts on it, let me know. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and also make sure that you get my daily update every day. Just go to BubbaTrading.com, and you can get the daily update. You can email me, and I'll email it to you. If you just send me an email, I'll put you on the list. You can get it every day automatically. In the meantime, LibertyTalk.fm, the only station you need. Go check it out and download the Bubba Show, and of course, the Sporting Edge every single day. And we're going to stop by here for a break. We will be right back with more of the Bubba Show after the break. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, what is up? Well, okay, I'm going to make my prediction now. Tampa Bay beats New England straight up. That's my call. That's my saying. But in the meantime, also, since we got some baseball, the Red Sox and Yankees both win game one of their new series. That's it. That's my predictions for today. So in the meantime, okay, we've got the jobs number tomorrow. Is this what the markets are waiting for? And we keep saying that, you know, it's like we keep trying to find an event that the markets are waiting for. I don't know whether they're waiting for any event, but we keep looking for a reason for the markets to move. And, of course, we never get a reason, right? I think that, you know, maybe it could be jobs. But to me, I just think that the markets have run out of steam here. I think the buyers are pretty much exhausted. Now, one of the things I will say here, though, you know, and I'm bearish. I mean, I think we're going lower, you know, eventually here. You know, again, I'm not going to say it's going to be today. But I think one of the things you certainly can see here, though, which can happen, is an extended period of consolidation, which, as I mentioned earlier, my private tech index that I, you know, chart has been in consolidation. That can resolve itself higher. So, you know, it doesn't mean we're going down. I know we all think it's going down. I know we all want it to go down right now. But I don't know if that's going to be the case right now. Again, you know, markets are very tricky when it gets these things in. But the key to watch now is the volume and the volatility. Without either, we're not going anywhere anyways. Either way. Okay? But you will continue to get it stuck up your potatoes if you keep trying to short it, because it is going to drift higher. That's just the way life goes, all right? I also have to wonder about the commodity space. You know, we've had a dramatically weaker dollar, and the commodities didn't get a lot of benefit. In fact, I think they were down as well. You know, now everybody's worried that the dollar's starting to rally, but I said, I don't think it really matters here. But, you know, if I look at the farmers and the grains, you know, they're all well off their highs, and they're all well off their, you know, multi-year highs. And you know, again, their costs have gone up, because even though we supposedly don't have any inflation, their costs of production have gone up. So I think that becomes an issue. And this ties into you know, everybody telling us how good business is. Well, okay, so if it's really good, we probably should be eating more food, which should be creating more demand. But then oil, all right? Now, oil had a much bigger drawdown than build yesterday, and oil did not rally off of that information. Now, again, I fully believe that oil is basically peaked for history. Now, I'm sure it'll be higher at some point, but I don't know where it's going to really go to. And I think it's interesting that in the year or so that OPEC has decided to, manipulate this and try to, force prices higher so they can get that big IPO out. But what you really see is that from when OPEC decided that they're going to try to do the thing, oil's down about 10%. Okay. So, I don't know, not a lot of demand. And I think we would all agree that we're going to see a smaller demand for oil going forward because we are, A, having much more fuel-efficient vehicles, even the big ones. But everything we do is much more fuel-efficient. We've switched a lot of things over to natural gas and things like that. So I think that the longer-term demand based on the overall supply does not keep us, where we're going to get these ridiculous prices again. So I think that, is part one. Part two is we are no longer going to be ever held up by, by OPEC or by the Mideast because we don't use their oil. So you would think that many of these commodities that continue to get clobbered would start to go higher because, the costs of operating them have not. So I'm wondering, if the economy is so good, and this goes back to the economy, then why aren't these things flying? Well, I think the first thing is that, we have a distinct difference between what's going on Wall Street and what's going on Main Street. Main Street can have all the part-time minimum wage jobs they want. Okay? Not a very encouraging sight, but that's what's available. When I was in Vegas, they were showing me, and I go, nice, but, who's working there? And, of course, it's all minimum wage, part-time jobs. And, it's just an issue, right, that needs to be discussed and figured out. But, again, we don't have – our issue here remains always the same, okay? The people in power don't care. All they care about is keep staying in power, and they'll do what it takes to stay there. And, when you look around the globe, you see the common, that's pretty much a common theme. The upper end wants to kind of keep the lower end, just kind of underneath their thumb. And, again, that's why Wall Street and Main Street are not even remotely related, because there's no way that the markets could continue to go up with what's going on. And of course, then what we're told what's going on. I think that, the days are getting closer, but I do think it's interesting that the markets did survive the hawkish talk. And I don't mean I was worried about them going and getting killed. I was, I would have thought we might have seen some selling, but they've really taken all that in stride. And I don't think that you've got, I think if you're looking for a sell-off, I think it's better that it didn't sell off there, because I think it will force the next sell-off to be much bigger. I mean, again, I want to make it clear that there's going to be a sell-off. I want to make it clear that the markets will be higher, at some point at that sell-off. So, again, I would not think of investing in the markets. I would continue to just say, hey, I'm expecting, potentially some bad news. And again, what will it be? That's the whole question. That's what we never know. That if you could answer that question, okay, we would put you on a pedestal. It's what is the event that will occur to concern markets that have no concern? And that is always the big case is trying to acknowledge and figure out what that will be. And nobody knows. Only the shadow knows. Only Bubba doesn't know. No, I have no idea. I mean, again, you would think it could have been a North Korea. It could be anything. Again, the one thing is you never know what the masses will consider dangerous and will force them to panic or puke or sell out. You can't pinpoint that because it's always that part is different of what's going to be the deciding factor. But I think there's just a lot to watch out for. I think jobs tomorrow, I don't think it holds the key. I think the markets probably continue to dribble up until they don't. I certainly wouldn't step in front of them. I've tried. I would certainly just sit back and kind of watch and observe and continue to look for opportunity. In the meantime, don't forget, Tampa Bay Buccaneers kicked the crap out of New England tonight. And, of course, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the Bubba Show every single day. If you email me at Bubba@BubbaTrading.com, you can get my daily update emailed right to your inbox for free. And, of course, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the Bubba Show and the Sporting Edge. And we're going to step out here for the day and enjoy some baseball. Yankees and Cleveland and Boston and Houston. And then, of course, football. And we're going to tell you all, everybody, have a nice day. Have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. It's always great to share ideas and thoughts with my listeners. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow on Friday. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.